Labbaik, here I am. A Modern Muslimah's Journey to Hajj, Part 5, Ziyarat and Ustuwanas. The chronicles of my Hajj journey would not be complete without me delving into the history and significance of certain things in and around the city of Medina, given my affinity to history and all things weathered by time. How can you know where you're going if you don't know where your roots lie? Exploring virtuous places from a bygone era is, simply put, my cup of tea. And Medina was full of these treasures, which had such tremendous Islamic significance that they were still relevant today. Unfortunately, most historical sites in the kingdom are being destroyed by the authorities due to the fact that many people begin acting inappropriately when in contact with them, which amounts to bidat. The only one dua should be made to is Allah. The purpose of ziyarat is simply to see the historical significance and take in the lessons that we should learn from them. On our tour, we visited Masjid al-Quba, the first masjid in Islam. It was built by the son of Yasir and Sumaya. She was the first shaheed in Islam. The people of Quba were praised by Allah as they were the ones that introduced istinja using water. Bir Ariz, the ring of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was also lost in one of the wells at the masjid. We read 2 rakats nafil salahia and hope to get the reward of 1 umrah for doing so. Then it's off to Masjid al-Qiblatain. This was the masjid of the 2 Qiblas, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who first faced Masjid al-Aqsa during Salah, was instructed by Allah, who saw that he was more inclined towards Makkah, to turn and change the Qibla to that direction. Masjid al-Hamama is on the western side of Masjid al-Nabawi. A short 5-minute walk, once out of the gates, we got to see the mosque where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed for rain, and instantly rain clouds gathered and it began raining. Of most significance, we visited Mount Uhud, which is a mountain of Jannat. It is visible from behind the clock tower of the Hilton Hotel. Every day we would pass it and make dua. Uhud is a mountain that loves us and we love it. O Allah, just as we are seeing it here today, let us see it in Jannat too. When visiting the actual mountain where the Battle of Uhud took place, the history lessons we took in Madrasa finally come alive, and one can see immediately where the archers who deserted their posts, contrary to the orders of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, were stationed. Their actions caused a lot of Sahabas to be martyred, including Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's beloved uncle Hamza radiallahu anhu. Even the Mubarak blood of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was spilt here. The lesson was that if the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam are not followed, the ummah will suffer, something we should take heed of in today's time. We stand a while in honor and respect for these pioneers of our religion. Assalamu alayka ya shuhada, jazakallah ya shuhada, for giving your lives so valiantly so that I could stand here today and have Islam in my life, in this day and in this age. We read Ayatul Kursi, Surah Kawthar, Ikhlas and Yasin, and convey the rewards to the martyrs of Uhud. We also remember the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who forgave Wahshi, the person who killed his beloved uncle Hamza, and take the lesson of forgiveness from that. After a half-day trip, we are back at our hotel. We freshen up and head back to Masjid al-Nabawi, this time without the trepidation and a welcome sense of enthusiasm. It draws us back like a moth to a flame. As we walk down to Masjid al-Nabawi, For the first time, I notice how pretty everything is around here. Not overpowering or gaudy, but prettiness that gives one a feeling of lightness. As we walk down the expanse of the courtyard, I feel as though I am floating. I must say, my flowing abaya flapping gently in the wind does help with this imagery I've created in my head. I enter the masjid in the same way as I did the evening before, but this time my eyes dart from pillar to pillar, searching for the significant spots in the masjid. I make the intention, O Allah, I am visiting these virtuous spots for your pleasure and to gain a strength in iman that will stay with me until the day I die. Please make it easy for me and accept it from me. Because of partitioning and the men's and ladies' sections being separated, it is difficult to access the places I am searching for. So I take to a deserted area with the intention of reading the du'as as if I were actually standing at the significant pillars. As I sift through my kitab bag, I stumble across a lovely story. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a person recites, La ilaha illallah, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, the phrases come out of his mouth in the form of a little green bird. The little bird flies to the arsh of Allah, flapping its wings in a perturbed manner. Allah asks the little bird to calm down. The little bird replies, how can I be calm when you have not announced the forgiveness of the person who has uttered these words? Allah again tells the bird to be at ease, but the bird still gives the same reply. Three times over, it happens the same, until on the fourth occasion, the little bird asks, you have not forgotten the recital of these words. Then Allah finally says, I have forgiven him. I make a mental note to relay the story to my boys when I get back home. There are eight significant pillars in the masjid. I read two rakats nafil salah and read the du'as as if I was sitting at each one. They are Ustawana Hanana. This is where a palm tree the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to rest his hand on during khutbahs cried so loudly when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam moved away to the newly built minbar that he consoled it by promising it Jannah. O Allah, even as this inanimate object felt deprived of the companionship of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, soften my heart, grant me the love of your Nabi, and bless me with the yearning to follow his pure teaching and fill my heart with true appreciation for being his follower. The Ustawana Aisha, the pillar of Aisha, is where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if men knew the reward for reciting at this spot, they would have to draw straws to see who would get to read here. I read, O Allah, grant me the appetite for good actions and the inclination to do righteous deeds. Bless me with the desire to emulate the pious and outdo others in the doing of good. Ustawana Tawbah is a pillar where one of the Sahaba, Abu Lubaba, was summoned after a battle by the Jews who were captured to ask of their fate. He motioned with his hand across his neck, indicating that they would be killed, which was not the case. He felt so bad after having done that he tied himself to the pillar in the masjid until he would receive forgiveness from Allah. After many days, the Sahaba asked the Prophet if he would forgive him so that he could be untied. The Prophet replied in the negative, as Abu Lubaba had asked forgiveness from Allah and not from the Prophet himself. After some time, Allah revealed an ayat, forgiving him for his misdeed. I think of this when I ask, O Allah, grant me the dislike and displeasure of committing sin. Grant me the ability to repent after committing sins and forgive me for my wrong in the same way as you forgave Abu Lubaba. Ustawana Sarir was when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to perform itikaf. O Allah, grant me the desire to search for your love grant me good fortune of reflecting, contemplating, and meditating. Then I think about Ustwana Ali, the place where Ali radiallahu anhu would stand to guard the Prophet when he was in prayer. And I ask, O Allah, grant me the ability to defend your deen and the ability to defend the integrity of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give me the opportunity of serving your deen. The Ustwana Wufud is a place where delegations of non-Muslims would come to learn about our deen, and Atlas Pillar is a spot that they would accept Islam and thereafter take it back to their nation. Sadly, this is no longer practiced in Medina, and it is said that the pillar will weep until the day of Qiyamah. O Allah, grant me the ability to return from Medina an ambassador of your deen, in the same way the delegations did after departing from this place. The Ustwana Tahajjud is the spot where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform Tahajjud. I ask Allah here to grant me the ability to be regular in my salah and to perform Tahajjud salah regularly. Please make salah the coolest of my eyes and the contentment of my heart. The Mimbar is where the fountain of Hawza Kawthar will be on the day of Qiyamah, and I pray I will be able to drink from there and help Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam distribute water from there to his ummah. In a little while, I need to meet my hubby. We have made arrangements where to meet so that we can go to Jannatul Baqi, which is also a portion of Jannah, like the Rawdatul Jannah, the green carpet inside. Women are not allowed in, and so I go just to pay my respects from the outside. My husband, who has just returned from the roof of the masjid, a beautiful experience, he says, joined me. As we walk to the masjid courtyard, we notice the crowds are getting visibly thicker. When we reach Jannatul Baqi, we ask Allah to increase the status of the dwellers of Baqi and to grant us the barakat of this place. We also ask for Allah to reserve a place for us here and to let us be with the people of Jannat. The days pass too quickly here in Franco Medina. We've done most of our shopping here at the famous Tayyaba Center and frequented Bin Dawood a couple of times. We've enjoyed the time spent on the Ziyarah tours. So much history, it is fascinating to me. I never want to leave. I make a dua that all visitors do when they visit Medina. O Allah, let me die a Muslim in Medina and be buried in Jannatul Baqi, a jannati without reckoning. And then the unthinkable happens. The evening before we leave for Makkah, we hear a lady from our group of 25 who left South Africa together had surrendered her soul to the angel of death, who had come to call. How fortunate was she? I didn't know her well, but I know that I was in the company of a jannati. She was buried in Jannatul Baqi. I pray, O Allah, like her duas are accepted, accept mine too. May Allah make it easy for her family. On that emotional note, we make our farewell salam, then don our ihrams the next morning and leave the confines of Medina. My heart still longing to stay, but my mind telling me that there was more to come. Jazakallah.